الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله تعالى قال من عاد لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب أو كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders, brothers in Islam, it is the Aqeedah, the beliefs and creeds of the Ahle Sunnah wal Jama'ah to show the utmost respect to those servants, to those creations who have a special link and affiliation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people who have achieved a proximity, a closeness to our Lord. And it is for that reason that we show the utmost respect to our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We show that same dignity and honor to his companions. We show it to those who helped the beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or helped his message. And in exactly the same way, and stemming from the same idea, this is the reason why we show respect to the awliya-e-kiram, the saints or the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today this hadith that I have recited to you, read to you, is in essence a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about those who try to degrade and disrespect the awliya-e-kiram. The seal and of prophecy ended with the beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know that after our beloved Messenger there will be no other prophet. But in essence, what the system of wilaya, of sainthood, of being friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is it reminds the people of the message of the Anbiya-e-Kiram, that despite the fact that there will be no other prophet thereafter, the job of the Awliya-e-Kiram is through their actions, through their radiant character, through perhaps even their miracles, they remind people of the importance of the message of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It helps them to reflect once again what the true reality of Islam is. And you will find that historically, the appearance of the awliya-e-kiram in whichever area of the world it may be, has almost coincidentally been at the time where Islam is going on a downward spiral, where Islam perhaps is decreasing in respect. And the job of the awliya-e-kiram will be to once again remind people about the message of Islam, remind people about the character of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So like the majority, the whole overwhelming majority of Muslims, we too hold the awliya-e-kiram with utmost respect and adhere to their teachings and adhere to their sayings. Unfortunately, there are a small group of Muslims who try to undermine the importance of wilaya, who try to suggest that this concept of waliyullah is not as prominent as we suggest in our sayings and in our actions. And there are a couple of objections that they often try to cite in order to downgrade, in order to try to disregard the importance of the awliya-e-kiram. Firstly, they argue that in our ummah, there is no such categorization of Muslims accordingly. They are just the anbiya-e-kiram, and then after that, it's just the ummah in general. You can't classify it into caste or kind of social systems on the basis of their ranks. And they say that when you say that you talk about the awliya-e-kiram, you are dividing the Muslim ummah and saying that these awliya-e-kiram are better than others. And so the verses from the Holy Quran which talk about wilaya, which talk about awliya-e-kiram, they try to suggest that this is talking about Muslims in general. Like for instance the famous verse in the Holy Quran that you are all familiar with, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهَ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. And if you ask them who is this talking about, if it is not talking about the awliya-e-kiram, and in answer to that they say that this is talking about the ordinary Muslims, that you and I are the waliyullah, we are the friends of Allah because we are Muslims. To answer that, we should read on the and try to understand what exactly the verse is saying, and it is clear that this verse is not talking about ordinary Muslims, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse that the awliya-i-kiram are those fortunate beings who have no fear, have no grievance, and have no anxiety about what has passed previously in their life and what will happen tomorrow. And how many Muslims are there today on earth who are in such a position that they have no grief and anxiety about what sins they have performed, and they are not worried about the Day of Judgment? Clearly this is talking about a special group of Muslims, a special group of believers. Likewise, in the same ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ, that these awliya-i-kiram, they have glad tidings in this world and in the hereafter, and that they are promised Jannah in this world. Again, this is not the trait and sign of ordinary Muslims. So clearly, from the Holy Quran, we understand that the awliya-i-kiram refers to a very special group of believers. Those believers whose whole life and whose every movement is in compliance and with the teachings of the beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are other Muslims, a minority of Muslims, who suggest and who try to disregard the fact that the awliya-i-kiram can perform miracles. That we believe as the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that the awliya-i-kiram, through the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can perform karamats, miracles. When a prophet or a messenger performs a miracle, we call it a mu'jiza. And when it comes from the awliya-i-kiram, then we call it karamat. And they try to again somewhat suggest that this is not possible, that the miracles that we see are only there from the prophets and messengers, because that is a means by which they prove their prophecy, by which they prove their risalah. But when we look at the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in many places mentioned miraculous events that have occurred on the hands of his awliya-i-kiram rather than the prophets and messengers. We know there are plenty of mentions of the miracles from the anbiya-i-kiram in the Quran, the likes of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. But there are people in the Quran who are not prophets, who are not messengers, who perform miracles, or miracles are performed in front of them, yet they are not the prophets and messengers, rather they are the awliya-i-kiram. And like one example is that of Sayyida Maryam alayhi salam, the mother of Sayyidina Isa. She was not a prophet. She was not a Rasul. Remember, women are not prophets and messengers in Islam. And yet we know that in her mihrab, she would get fruits of winter in the summer and summer fruits in the winter. And likewise, we hear the story of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam in his time, the story of Ifrit, and how he quickly bought the throne of the queen to him as soon as, very quickly, قَبْلَ أَن تَقُومَ مِن مَقَامِكَ قَبْلَ أَن يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ تَرْفُكَ, before anyone could blink their eyes. Again, these were not prophets or messengers. So this is again something established from the Holy Quran. The hadith that Imam Nawawi has recorded in his Arba'een is a hadith of Qudsi, in which what this means is that the words are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they are delivered by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the words begin with a very stark and severe warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, مَنْ عَادَلِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ أَعْزَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ, whoever shows hatred and animosity towards a friend of mine, then I declare war on him. فَقَدْ أَعْزَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ, but I declare war on him. Harb means war. And what could be considered more of a severe warning than when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I declare war on you? That what bigger threat and punishment can there be than when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I declare war on a person? Then in this hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to explain that some of the things that the awliya-i-kiram do in order to attain that status and rank of wilaya. And clearly they perform the ibadats which have been made compulsory upon them, and this is something which all Muslims are required to do, and this is something which is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what the awliya-i-kiram are marked by is their desire and their wish to perform the nawafil as well, the extra ibadats. And this is something which shows their desire and verb in acting upon the tenets of Islam. So in this hadith we read, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَدْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ, that there is nothing my servant can do which is more beloved to me than those things which I have made compulsory upon him. So when we perform the salah that Allah has made compulsory, this is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. And then when he follows it up and he moves on to the next stage, and he continues to draw closer to me, how? Bin nawafil, with extra optional prayers. Then what happens? Uhibbahu. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I show my love towards that person. That my love falls upon this person. And then what happens? فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when I love a servant, then I, Allah, becomes the hearing by which he hears by. وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ. And I become the sight by which he sees by. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي تَبْيَبْتِشُ بِهَا. And I become the hand which he moves with. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. And I become the feet by which he walks. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَنِي لَعُوْتِيَنَّهُ. And if he asks me, then I will ensurely give him whatever he requires. وَلَئِنْ إِسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ. And if he seeks forgiveness, if he seeks refuge, then surely I will give it to him. So in essence, what here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that I become so close to a person that any of his wish, any of his requirements are met by me. Now in this hadith you have read how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I become the sight by which he sees, I become the listening by which he listens. What does this mean? All the ulama-i kiram agree that here we cannot take the literal haqiqatan meaning. That clearly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not become that person, or he does not enter into that person. Rather in such situations we take the what we call the mujazi meaning, or the metaphorical meaning. And what that here means is that everything a person sees, he sees those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves of. That when it talks about the hearing ability, it means that person only hears those things which are allowed in Islam, and automatically he stays away from those things which are forbidden. And when it talks about the feet and the walking, in this hadith what it means is that he will only walk to those things which are beneficial and bring reward to him. He will not walk towards sin. So the hadith is to be taken metaphorically rather than literally. Again, there are Muslims who, with such ahadith and such ayats from the Holy Quran, which talk about the hands, which talk about the feet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they try to suggest that ma'azallah Allah has a body of some sort. And they try to suggest that, yes, if Allah has said that yadullah, the hand of Allah, then we have to believe that Allah has a hand. If Allah says that he sat on the throne, then we must understand from this that Allah can sit on a throne. What the opinion of the ulama-i kiram, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that such ayats, such verses, which seemingly show, which talk about these kind of objects, our job is just to say amanna, that we believe in it. It is not for us to decide what the exact format of Allah's hand is, or how he sits on the throne. It is not up to us to understand and try to understand what Allah's eyesight will be like. And this is something which is mentioned in the Quran, which says when it talks about the mutashabihat verses, those verses which are unclear, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the sign of those people who are rigid in their knowledge, who are rigid in their belief, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ, that those people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firmly, then on such verses which talk about the mutashabihat, the confusing verses, they just say we believe in it. Imam Nawawi was asked about the arsh once, that about the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was asked that tell us about the detail of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the throne, and this idea that can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sit on this throne, and what is his kayfiyyat of sitting it. And in reply Imam Nawawi gave a very simple answer, and he said that al arshu ma'lum, the arsh is known, وَكَيْفِيَّتُهُ مَجْهُول. How it is, how Allah sits on this is unknown. It is majhool. وَاسْتُعَالُ عَنْهُ بِدْعَ. And you, by virtue of you asking me about this question, this itself is bid'ah. This is wrong itself. Because otherwise the majority of Muslims, when they have been asked about the mutashabihat, they have kept quiet and they have simply said, آمَنَّا بِهِ, that we believe in it. And likewise, it's common sense that if you want to learn about the sifats and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us learn about His forgiving nature. Let us learn that how He is Ghafoorul Raheem. Let us learn that how He is Shadeedul Iqab, that He is the most severe punisher. Let us hear about His Rahmah and His mercy and His forgiveness and His wrath and His anger. These are the things which will bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in essence, if we are to, like the likes of Ibn Taymiyyah have done, if they spend all the effort trying to establish whether Allah has a hand, how does that improve our iman? That what is to be proven if we do prove that Allah has a hand, or that Allah can sit on the throne like we can sit on a chair? There is nothing to be gained from such exercises. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to stay away from such misguided people, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to perform extra optional prayer so we may draw closer to Him. Ameen. Wa ma alayna illa al-balaghu al-mubin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim wa salli alayhi.
Ameen.
Allahumma rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim.
Ameen.
Wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim.
Ameen.
Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azaban nar.
Ameen.
Allahumma a'inna ala tilawati al-Qur'ani wa zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik.
Ameen.
Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayr khalqihi wa nuri 'ajshihi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.